Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 39. Hear now the word of the Lord. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Praise be to God for this reading of his holy word. Advent is about waiting. Waiting is usually about longing for something to happen. It's a season of waiting to celebrate what God has done in the past through his Son. And it's also a season of looking forward to when Jesus will come again. So we as a church, we're still waiting for Jesus. But Advent is also about waiting for God to act in the present, in the here and the now of our lives. What is God going to do? What has he promised to do? What might he do through our ordinary lives, through our ordinary abilities and resources? What might God do in the here and now of our lives, in our ordinary corners of this world? So today we look at the second of a number of special songs that are in the Gospel of Luke, important songs regarding the birth story of Jesus. We can learn a lot from these oldies but goodies and the folks who crafted them. We can learn a lot from the role they played in the incarnation, the infleshness story of God in his Son, the eternal Word become flesh. Last week we looked at Zechariah's song. Elizabeth and Zechariah were older and were waiting for a long time for a child. They did a lot of waiting. The nation of Israel was doing a lot of waiting too. They were waiting for the promised Messiah. They had been waiting and longing for the blessing. And thrown in the mix is a woman who is only beginning her life as a young woman, but she can't wait. She can't wait. God will cause her to conceive and give birth before she is married, something that must have been very difficult to explain to family and friends back then. Have you ever waited for something? Waited and longed for something or someone for a very long time? In a sense, Mary's song chronicles the waiting of God's people, the waiting of God's people for a Savior. And at the same time, her song chronicles the many times God has delivered his people throughout history, how God has kept his promises in human history. It's easy to blame God for all that has not happened yet, or even for all that has happened. It's easy to say, why is God taking so long? It's easy to rush ahead with our own plans and designs for life because, well, God just takes too much time. He just doesn't understand my biological clock, we might complain. Does he understand that it takes so many years for my IRA to mature until I can get a comfortable retirement? Does he understand these things? It's more difficult, however, to wait, to trust, to receive, to respond to the Holy Spirit. Mary's faith and obedience are a good example for us today as we seek to be faithful followers, disciples of Jesus. Mary's famous song, well, first, the background music to Mary's song is Elizabeth and Zechariah. Her famous song is called the Magnificat. It's a praise song. I bet you never thought there were praise songs in the Bible, but that's exactly what this song is. It's a praise song. And her famous praise song has some famous background music, too. And the background music to Mary's song is the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. An angel appears to Zechariah in the temple. The angel says to him, "Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to their Lord and God." It goes on to say that their son will go on to make people ready for the coming of the Lord. And Zechariah, you know, responds to the angel's message saying, "How can you be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife, well, I'm not going to say she's old, but she's getting on in years." "Impossible," he says. "Cannot happen." The angel tells him, "But I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news." And then in essence, he says, "Now you be quiet and listen and watch and wait. Now you see what God is about to do." And you know this story. Zechariah is unable to speak until these words of the angel are actually fulfilled. Elizabeth, on the other hand, offers a different tune to the background music to Mary's song. You might think that after all these years of trying to conceive a child, that she'd become bitter or angry at God or even given up on God. Luke said that they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were well along in years. But she didn't become bitter. She didn't give up on God. Instead, after becoming pregnant, she says, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Elizabeth's response was one of gratitude and joy for the grace of God. She didn't act like she was entitled to have a child or to have life her way. So when she conceived, she simply gave the glory to God. The same tune found in Mary's song. Advent is a season where we remember and ponder the greatest event in all of human history. It's a pivotal point in God's dealings with human beings. God became flesh in Jesus of Nazareth. He was incarnated, infleshed. All of human history hinges on the Christmas story, for the hinges swing open into the new covenant. Jesus is born. Something big is about to happen to Elizabeth, and I'm sure she didn't understand all of that. And like Mary, I'm sure she pondered these things in her heart. What the angel told her about her husband, this child in her womb, must have sounded unreal, surreal. And because she believed, she must have had a great sense of expectation that something wonderful was about to happen. Not only was she giving birth to a son in old age, but her son was going to be special and play an important part in God's plan of the ages. Both Mary and Elizabeth express a deep awe and respect for God in their words, in their actions, in their songs. There's no flippancy or street talk in the words that they use. You could even say their words were a bit formal. A better biblical word for their approach might be fear. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom." It's different than many Christian circles today where God is considered to be the friendly neighbor or just a friend, a buddy, or as John Calvin says, a Friday night drinking partner. Mary and Elizabeth knew that they were not entitled to the good life, though. They were not entitled to have children, to live in the suburbs, to drive fancy cars. No, they're not entitled to certain rites of egalitarianism as we appreciate today. So when, with the help of the Holy Spirit, they express their humble joy in praise songs as they sing out in this reverent fear and respect to God. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said will be accomplished. That's a major theme in Luke chapter 1. God will do what he said he will do. You better believe it. Mary believed it. Elizabeth believed it. God will do what he says he will do. Zechariah, on the other hand, took some convincing. Men, right? Then the historic wombs meet. Mary and Elizabeth, Jesus and John. The imagery, the language in this passage is very similar to that of 2 Samuel chapter 6, where King David danced and leapt before the Ark of the Covenant as it entered Jerusalem. In fact, some have seen the imagery of Mary's womb itself of being a sort of Ark of the Covenant, and Jesus in utero being the Shekinah glory. There are indeed many similarities to Old Testament images and passages throughout this Song of Mary. Mary knew the genre of glory to God type praise songs. She hid God's word in her heart. So Mary was certainly familiar with Hannah's song of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Mary is also included in the great cloud of witnesses of the Old Testament saints like Miriam, Hannah, Deborah, great women of God, all of them. In a male-dominated society, Mary is lifted up as an example of a faithful, loyal, obedient disciple. She's the example that God using an ordinary person to do extraordinary things. You want to be like her, the Bible's telling us. But Mary is an ordinary person. In her song, she refers to God, my Savior. And only sinners need a Savior. Contrary to Roman Catholic dogma, Mary was not free from all taint of original sin. She needed a Savior. She needed the Savior she bore in her womb. Catholics probably overemphasize this great saint and woman of God. Protestants probably underemphasize, are guilty of underemphasizing her character and her faithful example. For Mary's song is our song too. The Bible then says that Mary hurried to Judea, to Zechariah's house. It says in verse 41 that when the two wombs met, when Elizabeth reached Mary, the baby leapt within Elizabeth. John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus even when he wasn't even born yet, before he was born. And then it says the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth and she bursts into praise, saying, "Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Of course, Mary had just finished saying to the angel Gabriel in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." A great statement of faith. A single virgin woman had expressed full trust and confidence in God's plan for her life. As strange as that plan must have sounded, and as scary too. Mary knows God doesn't owe her anything. She knows that whatever is about to happen, whatever these births will mean, it simply means she's a recipient of God's sheer grace and love. Both Mary and Elizabeth are excellent examples of faith, trust, and humble submission to God's will for their lives. Protestants don't have to be afraid to point that out. Now let's move to Mary's song itself, the four stanzas of Mary's song. Mary's song is a beautiful song with four movements, or these stanzas. In her song, Mary rejoices over undeserved privilege, and she praises God for God's mercy. Her song is also a response to the presence of God and the wonderful message that has just been spoken to her from the angel. And she says right in the first line what she's doing, to magnify, to glorify God. In other words, to give God the credit. She's glorifying the Lord. Her song celebrates God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's power, God's loyal love. The Old Testament word, hesed. And at the same time, she's recognizing the futility of trusting in herself or in political power or trusting in riches. So the first movement in Mary's song is about God's great privileges to her and her life. She's obviously overwhelmed and overjoyed by all that has just happened. God, my Savior, has done great things for me, she sings. The second movement, Mary thinks of God's faithfulness and love to all humankind. She sings in verse 50, His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. Mary praises God for His faithfulness throughout the generations. In the third movement, Mary identifies with the people of God who have gone before her. She remembers God's delivering arm and recalls God bringing people out of Egypt, out of the Red Sea, through the Jordan. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble, she sings. We have to think like a Hebrew woman here. When we hear Mary's song, she's certainly connected with her faith story. She too has been longing for the blessing of the coming Messiah. And finally, in the fourth movement, Mary praises God for making promises to her ancestors and how he has kept his promises. Even now, the promise of the long-awaited Messiah is being fulfilled, she's thinking. Mary praises God, glorifies God, gives God the credit, not only for her deliverance and for the deliverance of her people in that day, she gives God the credit for deliverance, his deliverance throughout history. God is a promise-keeping God, and that's what she's praising here. God remembers his loyal love to Israel, his servant people, but of course, Mary's song is not only heard by the Hebrews, Luke writes to the Gentiles. God keeps his promises to the people of Israel, and he keeps his promises to the Gentiles as well. A Savior is coming. A Savior is coming. We would probably do well this Advent season to clear away the clutter of our consumer-driven spirit and instead spend some time pondering the great mercy, grace, love, the power, the majesty of God, and humbly submitting our lives and our will to God. Mary's praise song helps us do just that. So have you ever been waiting for anything, hoping, longing for something? Are you waiting for God to do something right now in your life? Well, as you wait, before whatever it is, remember that life has to be lived today too. Remember the opportunities to serve are out there, the opportunities to do good even while you wait. And as you wait, continue to submit your will to God's. You may just find that the thing that you're waiting for will change into something completely different. Remember that if you're in Christ today, then you're definitely already part of God's plan of the ages. God has given your life meaning and purpose right now, you, for the person that you are right now. So take delight in the fact that you are included in God's plan, and he is already involved in your life, as imperfect as it is. God's timing may not be our timing, but it is the best timing possible. And as you wait for the promises of Scripture to be fulfilled in your life and in the world, remember, God will do what he says he will do. Maybe take a moment in the next few days to write your own praise song or a praise poem or a praise letter to God. Give God the glory. Give credit to God for his manifold deliverance, not only for you, but for the family of faith that spans space and time, for the family of faith in which you belong. So wait with expectation. And wait with a song, a praise song in your hearts. Would you pray with me? Eternal God, worthy of all praise, honor, and glory, we bless your name and lift our hearts to you in praise today. Thank you for remembering and keeping your promises to your people, to Israel, and to us too. Be near to us, we pray, as we celebrate the birth of Christ. Protect us as we travel, and may our celebrations be focused on the good news of the birth of the Savior. And Lord, for those who are still longing for the blessing, for those who have been waiting and waiting and continue to wait today, grant them courage and patience as they wait. And may you fulfill all good desires according to your will and in your good perfect timing. In your name we pray, Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen.